Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Holy Week, the climax of the Lenten season, begins 1 week from today. In no other Lenten season have we been so sorely tested and tried as in the year of our Lord 2020. Because of the viral outbreak that has gone right around the world in short order, we have been confronted with the tenuous connection between life and death, and most acutely. For example, many of our doctors and nurses are out there on the front lines of this outbreak, and they are at risk themselves to care for those in need, and we pray for them. Life and death, sickness and health, the line seems very easy to cross. This viral outbreak is much like a large natural disaster, a great earthquake, or a massive hurricane, which has come and suddenly wrecked its destruction and left damage in its wake. There are forces at work beyond our control arrayed against us, and they have forced us into unwelcome circumstances such as these trying days. If we review the readings, however, for the Sunday mornings of this Lenten season, we might come to some understanding of what's going on. The first Sunday in Lent, we heard about Moses' account of the fall into sin. Our first parents failed to heed God's word, fell for Satan's temptation, tasted death for themselves, in that they were no longer in direct fellowship with God. To be estranged from God is to truly see and taste death. God ordained the wages of sin to be death, eternal death, and temporally God decreed that people would return to the dust of the ground from which they came, and in this life they would be estranged from each other. Men and women would face difficulties even in living with each other in the holy estate of marriage. The woman would desire for the man's place as head of the family. The man would have to sweat to bring home bread for his bride and children. Pain and toil would result in returning eventually to the dust. And that same Sunday, our Lord Jesus himself, the second Adam, the promised seed of the woman, endured the temptations of the devil. The devil would bruise the Savior's heel, after all. Just as our Lord faced the devil, so also in Lent, we've heard about Jesus healing the demon-possessed daughter of the Canaanite woman, Jesus casting out a demon from the deaf and mute man, all reminding us that Jesus is the stronger man who must do battle against the strong man, Satan, and his ill-gotten gains in this world. In this fallen world, our bodies are afflicted also, afflicted with demons, illnesses, disasters, threats, doubts, depression, uncertainty, all the work of the cosmic forces of darkness over the present evil age. Now, we come today closer to the end of Lent, and we hear in the gospel of the battle between our Lord Jesus and the powers of the devil. On this Sunday, the devil speaks through the Jewish leaders of Jesus' day. They slander and react angrily to Jesus and the truth of his word, that Jesus is the one true eternal God in the flesh, that he is the promised Savior, the great I Am, who was before Abraham, who is the author of life. They become especially enraged at these words of our Lord, where Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The culmination of that conflict will be our Lord's crucifixion on the cross. But the cross was a necessary cross. There at the cross, our Lord confronted all that the devil and the fallen world throws at us. He confronted the strains and stresses of this life, the temptations, the doubts, the demons, the disasters, the looming threat to body and soul, and confronted death itself. There on the cross, Jesus defeated all those things and conquered them once and for all. Jesus Christ was born to die. Vicar Keller gave us a fine sermon on the Feast of the Annunciation this past Wednesday evening to that effect. Nothing about Jesus, from his conception in the Virgin Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit onward, can be understood apart from his death. All of the promises God ever gave to his people are fulfilled in that time and in that place where Jesus Christ confronted sin, death, and hell and triumphed over them. Jesus lived, suffered, and died as our substitute and as our champion in the battle against the devil. If Jesus were not a true man, he could not have become our substitute. If Jesus were not true God, he could not have become our champion. A mere man could not have defeated sin, death, and the devil. If so, that's just another lowly man dying on another Roman cross. No, only the true God could be victorious over the devil and his hosts. But God could also not take away sin and death by simply ruling it to be so, as if sin has no penalty that God must exact. The wages of sin is death. This is divine justice established in creation. You must not eat of the fruit of that tree, God told Adam, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And die they did, and all of Adam's children with him. In order for mankind to have a savior, God had to become man. Only a human being could obey for us, and only a human being could die for us and pay the wages owed for sin in our place. There was no other way for sin to be forgiven and for life to triumph over death. Abraham believed this. He saw it happen as the eternal Son of God, called in Genesis by the name Angel of the Lord, stayed the knife in his hand that loomed over Isaac on that altar and pointed him instead to a ram hanging on a thicket cross as Isaac's substitute. God's Son is the one in whom Abraham rejoiced. He is the one in whom Abraham trusted. Jesus said to the Jews confronting him, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." And he saw it and he was glad. It was the pre-incarnate Christ who provided Abraham with the substitute for Isaac. The ram was offered instead of Isaac. The ram pointed to Christ, who took the place of all sinners. Jesus offered himself up on the altar of the cross, and there he has cleansed your heart and your conscience and purchased an eternal inheritance for you. Christians claim Abraham as their spiritual father. He believed as we believe. Abraham believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him as righteousness. And God said to Abraham, "I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." All the families of the earth would be blessed in Abraham, because all the families of the earth would be blessed in Jesus. It is only through Jesus that one is a true child of Abraham. And that Savior promises all children of Abraham, all who have been baptized into his name. Truly, truly, I say unto you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. What a wonderful promise. Whoever you are, whatever you've done, if you keep his words, you will never see death. To keep means to hold on to it, to believe it, to trust. Whoever believes in Jesus, who receives the gift of forgiveness earned with his blood shed on the cross, will never see death. You may grow old and die, but you will not see death. You may contract a disease that will slowly take away your life, but you won't see death. You may be killed without warning, suddenly by accident, but you won't see death. Who is this man, Jesus, that has promised such a wonderful thing? How can someone claim to have the power over life and death? We have heard and come to know the Lord Jesus this Lenten season. He fights on the side of Abraham and all who cling to him and keep his word. And at his word, he chastens and he heals. And at his word, the devil is driven far away. For he is God's champion and our substitute. He is our man. We can trust his word, for he conquered death. He rose from the dead on the third day. And he gives you eternal life by means of the words that he speaks to you. You and Abraham's children by faith gather together in his name. You hear his word in the absolution, in the readings, in the sermon, throughout the liturgy, all taken right out of the Bible. You confess his word in the prayers, in the creed, in the hymns. Coming to the divine service today as we can, and tomorrow, we hope someday, all together. It's not just a good habit. It is keeping those words of life that give you eternal life. There's always going to be conflict and a battle brewing in this temporal life. Today it might be viral outbreak. Tomorrow it might be conflict with friends or family. And the day after that it might be something worse. But there is a battle for your soul and mine, a strange and dreadful strife in which life and death contend. But into the breach of all of this has come Jesus, who speaks an almighty word of life, the very sword of the Spirit. He is a mighty champion for us, and he's our brother to boot. He knows our flesh, knows our sorrows, and doesn't just know of them, he does something about them. Our Jesus is no soy boy religious advisor with some helpful insight to share once in a while. He's no soft-voiced coach who has to attract you with his looks or his charm or any other trait. No, Jesus is the man of all men, the Almighty God become flesh, who came and made peace with God through shedding his own innocent blood, and has reconciled you and all men to your heavenly Father. This is what Jesus came to do, to battle and defeat Satan and his forces and all his wicked works and all his wicked ways for you. And therefore, he can openly promise to all of Abraham's children, whoever believes my word, whoever holds my word, keeps my word, will never see death. there in his words, in the glorious promise of eternal life to come with him, and freed at last from every hardship, we find the courage to continue on, to confess, to do battle against the devil, the world, and our flesh, knowing that we are at peace, peace with God, while we do it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord.